Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Wow, what happened yesterday? What? Unbelievable. So I was not watching the Oscars, and I suspect none of you were either. I don't know of anybody who was. I don't think anybody was watching. And I got an emergency text message last night that said, "Todd, did you just see what happened on the Academy Awards show?" And of course, I had not. So I was catching up on some of the other shows, and so I saw the video, and we have all of it. The uncensored video over on toddstearns.com. And I think it's interesting as, and we're going to talk about this for a little bit. I just find it to be fascinating how the entire country is consumed with this smack heard around the world. So a couple of observations here about what happened between the dust up between Will Smith and Chris Rock. Will Smith is, you know, Chris Rock's not a very big guy. And Will Smith, that was kind of embarrassing, right? I mean, he slapped the guy, and I mean, yeah, he flinched, but you would have thought somebody of Will Smith's size would have knocked the guy down. You know, he's one of these Hollywood action stars. But again, in Hollywood, and it's a reminder that these are people who play make-believe for a living. So maybe Will Smith is not the macho man that he portrays up on the big screen. But I will say this. There are many people out there who are defending Will Smith, and there are three different trains of thought here, and I'm curious to know from our audience. I want to get this out of the way because I am curious to know from our audience. Do you think this was a case of assault? Do you believe this was simply a man defending the honor of his wife? Or do you believe it's all a hoax, that it's a ruse, and this was make-believe, and the only reason they did this was to boost the ratings, which are quite frankly in the cellar? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go back yesterday. This is how it all went down. Cut number one.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it. All right? that was a nice one. Okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard.
Here he comes.
Oh, wow. Wow. Will Smith just smacked out of me.
No.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
It was a G.I. Jane joke.
Keep my wife's name out your f***ing mouth.
I'm going to, okay? Okay. That was a greatest night in the history of television. Okay.
All right. So, again, you heard the smack. Where's Grace Baker? Grace Baker, report to the studio.
I'm here. I'm
Grace,
ready to go.
So when you saw this video.
Yes.
I mean, you could hear the smack.
Oh, you could hear the smack.
All right. If you could hear that smack, if it was really that powerful, because that was a huge smack, if it was that powerful, Chris Rock would have been on the ground.
That's what I think. I think it was all staged.
I want to go back and look at the foot, because it sounds like, as the, you know, again, this was all, if it was staged, mm-hmm. then he was probably pushing his foot down on the stage to give the sound effect.
Yeah,
of
that's
the
what
smack.
I think.
But then you turn around, and then you've got Will Smith, who's back at his seat when he's screaming, keep my wife's name out your mouth.
Yeah, and then cussing up a storm. And it's like, well, if it was staged, why was he throwing, you know, bombs everywhere?
And here's the other weird part about this. So you had Will Smith, who was actually laughing at the joke.
Exactly.
And then he turns and he looks at his wife and is, the wife wasn't laughing.
Which, I don't think I'd be laughing if I was her either.
But again, it's a joke. I mean, it's not, you know, I was listening to KWAM's morning show here in Memphis, Tennessee, and they had a guy call in and said, hey, remember Don Rickles? I mean, this guy used to use, Grace, you don't know who that is, but
sorry.
You can Google the guy. One of the most profane, vulgar, vile, hilarious comedians of all time. And he would use a lot of ethnic language. I mean, it was like ethnic jokes.
Oh.
He went after everybody.
Yeah, fair enough.
And people loved it. I mean, they were very insulting, and he would, like, just go after people in the audience. So now if you're a comedian, if you're Chris Rock, and let's just say, for example, and again, there are a lot of different ways to look at this.
I like Chris Rock.
I think he's a funny guy. And I mean, if you watch G.I. Jane, so Will Smith's wife has the condition where she goes bald. And she's on the record saying, and by the way, they have an open relationship, Grace Baker.
Yeah, that's the thing, too.
So that's what gets me.
That's weird.
So, okay, he's okay with the wife having sex with another man, but don't, whatever you do, don't make fun of her bald head.
Yeah.
Which, if you didn't watch G.I. Jane, if you didn't know what G.I. Jane was, then, you know, and I think a lot of people did not know.
Yeah, I immediately looked it up and was like, I get it.
So it wasn't that funny of a joke, but it was a joke. Everybody kind of laughed.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Everybody else did laugh. So why did Will Smith not get mad at everybody else, too? He just went off on Chris Rock. And also, it's just Chris Rock's reaction after was like, if you got slapped that hard, you're going to stand there, collect yourself. I mean, he barely even reacted. And then he said, oh, it's the greatest moment on television. I'm like, there you go.
Yeah.
I just think it was staged, at least in part.
It is a raging debate here in the Liberty University studios. But all these people talking about these men who open the doors for the women and the men who put down their coats so they don't have to walk in the puddle, and these men who defend their women, they're just toxic. This toxic masculinity.
Ironic.
These are the same people that are now defending Will Smith for getting up on the stage and beating the living or smacking the living crap out of Chris Rock.
Yeah, exactly. It's very ironic.
I want to go to Lakeland, Tennessee. Jim is on the line listening to us on KWAM. All right, Jim, what do you think happened in Hollywood last night?
Well, the ratings for the Oscars has been going down every year, and they have gotten so low where nobody wants to watch it. What I'm thinking is that was a stage stunt pulled so that everybody will watch it the next time to see what might happen.
You see, here's my concern about that, because, and it very well may be this was a stunt. Remember, what was it, Andy Kaufman and Jerry the King Lawler? You remember that back in the day?
I saw it when it happened.
Is that right? So, wow. So,
yeah.
So a lot of people, I mean, it was years later, and people never knew if that was real or if it was a stunt. This could be this generation's version of that.
Yeah, it was. And, of course, it could promote the wrestling stuff that he was wanting to do and all that stuff, you know. I saw it the night it happened. He just stepped up and just popped him, you know. And I think maybe that was a Hollywood versus or a wrestler. I think it was a stunt also.
It's fascinating, but here's the problem, Jim. There are a lot of people out there that think this was real, and that is, you know, the Academy Awards put out a statement. They said, oh, this was, you know, we're not going to tolerate violence. Will Smith gets up there, and then just a few minutes later, here's what gets me. Where was security? Did they have, like, the U.S. Capitol Police guarding the stage? Because the guy just ran up there, stormed the stage. Then after it was all over with, Jim, they didn't drag him out or ask him to leave. Instead, he won the best Oscar. And then Will Smith goes on this five-minute-long diatribe, and we've got a section of that. Let's take a listen.
I want to apologize to the Academy. I want to apologize to all my fellow nominees. This is a beautiful moment, and I'm not crying.
No, he's crying
for winning an award. It's not about winning an award for me. It's about being able to shine light on all of the people, Tim and Trevor and Zach and Sanaya and Demi and Ingenue and the entire cast and crew of King Richard and Venus and Serena, the entire Williams family.
All right. He goes on to say, Will Smith says that he wants to be a vessel of love. But, Jim, I think the reason he was crying, he probably broke a nail when he slapped the guy.
Well, that could hurt. But I'll look at it this way. That was a stage deal, too, just to kind of cover everything. Because I'm like you. Why didn't the security remove him, remove him from the place? Because who's to say that he might jump up there and do it again?
Or better yet, I mean, in this age of women's rights, why didn't Jada, if Jada had a problem with it, why didn't she get up there and smack the living daylights out of him?
Yeah, that's a thought. I didn't even thought about that because he wouldn't have dare responded back to her.
No. But honestly, but if you're a man and another man comes up and slaps you, which I think is worse, that's more insulting than a punch, the slap. I think you take the guy out right there, just right between the, just plant that fist right between the, at the bridge of the nose.
Yeah, but what about if Chris Rock was a little bit tougher than we thought he was and he jumped all over him and he started just beating the living stew out of Will's
head? I'd have paid good money to see that, Jim.
I would have too, because I've seen a lot of little men take down big men real quick.
Oh, that is true. And he could have been like one of those, remember those flying squirrels? They just latch onto you and just start eating you up. That I would have loved to have seen that. All right, Jim, appreciate you calling in. Thanks for the Jim is our entertainment reporter today. And we have so many other important things to talk about. I mean, Grace Baker on the verge of nuclear war with Russia, but everybody's talking about this story out of Hollywood.
Celebrities slapping each other at an award show.
I guess Chris Rock turned out to be the punchline of his own joke.
Clearly.
In one more ways than one, actually. But all right. Thank you. Thank you, Kyle. All right. We've got so much to talk about today, folks. So we're going to give a rehash of the big rally in Georgia. It was an honor to be there for that and to MC and had a chance to visit with the president. And we'll talk about that. Also, who is controlling the White House? And we're going to play some very disturbing audio for you. And a lot of people on the other side of the aisle are starting to weigh on this. And this is all part of a much larger plan. So I don't want you to be surprised. But here in the next little while, we are taking your questions about this. I mean, do you believe this was a hoax? Do you believe it was real and Will Smith should have been arrested? And just think about this, folks. Just think about this. What if it would have been a white actor who jumped up on that stage and beat the living daylights out of Chris Rock? You think the conversation would be a little bit different today? Or do you believe this was just Will Smith defending his wife's honor? 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Hi there, Todd Stearns here, and I want you to look around, folks. The bad guys have gained way too much ground. Now more than ever, we need to take a stand for the America we love and for the values we share. My friends at AMAC can help you do just that. AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. They're standing up for you and for the future of America. AMAC is the conservative voice for mature Americans, and they stand up for the causes that all freedom-loving Americans share. By joining AMAC, you'll combine efforts with over 2.3 million members who share your values, and you'll get exclusive benefits like discounts on travel, cell phone plans, and much more. Go to amac.us/starnes and join or renew today. I'm a proud member, and for just $16 a year, you can be one too. It's time to protect faith, family, and freedom. Join AMAC today by going to amac.us/starnes and take a stand for America. how would you like to be a comedian today? I mean, you got a gig coming up down at the Comedy Club. And, I mean, again, if this was all real and Will Smith is not charged, there's no punishment, and he's actually celebrated for defending the wife in front of the entire, you know, Academy Awards audience. I think there are more people in the audience than were actually watching the Academy Awards last time. I mean, it's basically open season on comedians now. Hey, let's go to the phones here. Gainesville, Georgia. Richard, listening to us on WDUN. All right, Richard, what say you?
Well, you know, when he did that slap, it sounded awfully loud, but don't forget that Chris Rock had a microphone in his hand, and he slapped him, and it's going to sound louder. Will Smith probably changed his mind from a punch to a slap because he knew a punch would really do some damage. And that's not the first time that Chris Rock has been confronted with his humor. If you remember, Sean Penn accepted an award, but before he accepted the award, he defended his friend Jude Law, which Chris Rock made fun of. And when Chris Rock came back to the microphone, it was kind of a blah thing. It was like somebody told a dirty joke and nobody liked it.
Yeah, I just don't know, Richard. It just seems to me that, you know, everybody knows that it was a joke. Rock probably didn't even write the joke. He's, you know, they have a team of people that write these things. But then look at how the mainstream media behaved when, you know, when people went after Melania Trump. They called her every name in the book. And when Trump tried to defend her, well, they attacked Trump. So it's really a bit of a double standard here. Richard, appreciate the call. Let's go to Maine. Jamie listening to us on WLOB. Hi, Jamie. All right. You saw it. What do you think? Was it a hoax or the real deal?
Well, I heard about it this morning because I don't watch the Oscars. But I think because they have so many aftermarket, like Hulu and Peacock and all these other places where people can watch things, I think they're trying to trump up their viewership post award ceremony. So I really think it was a hoax because I've heard a lot worse come out of people in Hollywood at roast. And I've heard Jada Pinkett Smith roasted before, and there's been a whole lot more than just a cute little G.I. Jane joke poked at her. And Chris Rock, people know. I've heard one of his first stand-up shows when he called women out on how they do their makeup and their this and their that. Women are always yelling at men about lying, and they lie just getting up in the morning and going out into the world. And I'm not going to repeat what he said. He's like, it's like calling a special needs person, that's not the word he used, on a double dribble. And he put that out into the world. And I think people just know that he says these things. You just never know what's going to come out of his mouth. True. I really think it was staged.
Yeah, you know, and to your point, Jada Pinkett Smith has been on the record saying she really doesn't care what people say about her. So
exactly,
it just seemed to me the joke did not warrant that response.
No, I really think. And from what I know from people that did see it, is that the FCC was on top of those F-bombs pretty darn quick. And if it was not planned, at least the first one would have flown and they wouldn't have caught it.
That's interesting. Now, normally those kinds of shows are on some sort of a delay. You know, we operate this program with a delay in case say something or Gray says something inappropriate. We're able to edit it out. So
fair enough. Maybe that was the case too. But
who knows? Like, All right, Jamie.
They missed David Ortiz's when he said that thing after the Boston Marathon bombing. They missed his.
Well, okay. Yeah, I must have. Yeah, it happens every now and again. So, Jamie, thank you for the call. And there you go, folks. So yesterday or over the weekend, had a chance to speak at the Trump rally, had a great time. We're going to play some audio from that coming up and met a lot of our great listeners from all over that part of the country. And we were able to give our friends at WDUN a shout out and other folks as well. And we would love to hear from you if you are at the rally. Has some very interesting observations about what went down. Georgia, the Republican Party there in the middle of an ugly civil war. And I'm just going to share some observations. A good-sized crowd was not a record crowd, but it was a good-sized crowd. If you were there, we would love to hear from you, 844-747-8868. Again, that's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Coming up, we're also going to get into this crazy story about Joe Biden and who is really running the White House. We'll be right back, folks. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Friends, last year your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. All right, welcome back, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, I had a great time doing some punditry work for Newsmax TV at the big Trump rally. By the way, if I hope you watch, I know a lot of you did because I got these messages from folks, including our good friend Joe from LJ, who, by the way, Grace Baker, had an RV on the site.
Fancy.
I mean, everybody else, including yours truly, had to park and hoof it in. But Joe from LJ's got the big Winnebago, the big RV.
I'm not surprised he came so prepared.
Oh, he was ready. It was at a raceway, the drag race place. And I would say, there was a big controversy over the size of the crowd. So local reporters said about 5,000 people were there. Trump says between 20 and 35,000 people were there. I'm not good with numbers, but it was not his largest crowd. I'll leave it at that.
That's why I became a journalist, so I didn't have to do math.
Yeah, I'm just glad. Yeah, I'm not the guy up on the up there trying to count all the heads in the crowd. But I will say this: people were very fired up, and we got there about noon, and there were thousands of people already waiting to get through the Secret Service line. I got a chance to visit with the president briefly and emceed, and then he had some nice things to say. And we'll play. Do we have that audio ready yet? We'll get to it later on today. But anyway, an interesting observation here. You folks in Georgia got to get it together. Your Republican Party is really messed up. And I say that because there was not a massive crowd there, and there should have been. There should have been 50, 60,000 people there. And I noticed that when the Republican candidates got up to speak, the president got a hero's welcome, a hero's welcome. And the candidates, not so much. Now, David Perdue is running against Brian Kemp, and I thought the president was very effective in going after the Georgia governor who screwed up the Georgia governor is the reason why Republicans do not control the U.S. Senate right now. I just want you to understand that. At this very moment, Chris Christie and the rhinos in the party are lining up behind Brian Kemp. Trump has endorsed David Perdue, but David Perdue is an establishment guy. And I noticed from my vantage point, I noticed that that he was being heckled. So people were heckling Perdue from the podium. I will say this, Marjorie Taylor Greene, well-received. Andrew Clyde, and here's what gets me. So Andrew Clyde replaced Doug Collins, who, by the way, you saw Doug Collins on Newsmax TV as well. Andrew Clyde is a small business owner. He owns a gun store. His wife is on the faculty of a great Christian university there in North Georgia. And he's just a good guy. He's not the big boisterous. He's not a Doug Collins kind of an attack dog. But he's a rock-solid Trump conservative, all right? So he's not out there. He's not an MTG. He's just a hard-working, I'm going to take care of my constituents congressman. He's the kind of congressman you really want for your district. The Republicans who control the Georgia State House literally carved Congressman Clyde out of his own congressional district. Keep in mind that the rhinos and the leftist control the Republican Party there in the state of Georgia. And they have declared war on conservatives. And they're going after the Trump conservatives in Georgia. It is a Republican civil war. And if the Republicans don't get it together, and there needs to be a closed door, everybody turn in your cell phones, get in there and figure out your problems. Because if Georgia falls into the hands of the Democrats, it is going to be a very difficult journey to 2024. That's what I saw. Not a lot of enthusiasm. You know, the other issue is, you know, Herschel Walker got a great response, great welcome. But look, there are four Republicans running for the Senate. They want to take on Raphael Warnock. There's a guy named Kelvin King who is a great conservative businessman. He is a military veteran. He is a rock solid conservative. And the big challenge there is that Herschel Walker will not debate the other Republican candidates. I got a problem with that. I like Herschel Walker. We had a good conversation. We got to talk for a while backstage. Good guy. But here's what I say. Republicans, you've got to debate because we want the best person for the job. We don't want a person with name recognition. We want the best person, the most effective, rock-solid conservative that we can pick. And it very well may be at the end of the day, it's Herschel Walker. But we won't know that until we get them all up on a stage and have everybody debate. And if you are a Republican and you do have a primary opponent and you don't want to debate, that just raises a red flag. Whether it's warranted or not, it just raises a red flag. I want to go to Tom, Oakwood, Georgia, WDUN. Tom, we actually had a chance to meet at the rally, and thank you for dropping by and saying hello.
Yes, we were working with my friend Ron Hooper, who is Banks County GOP chairman. Both and I were in that welcome line, and you took a selfie with us.
That was a lot of fun, Tom. I hope I did you guys proud. I was a little nervous up there with that big crowd.
In all honesty, I was working, so I personally didn't get to go till later. But you mentioned something earlier about the crowd.
Yes, I did.
We had a command center, and so we were there Thursday morning, Friday all day, and then Saturday. We had 20 to 40 mile gusting winds, and so the windshield was, I mean, some of those campaign booths, whether it be Perdue's or Burt Jones, that wind just destroyed the tents. So a lot of the crowd had to do with weather. It wasn't, I mean, I didn't talk to anybody that wasn't having a great time, but they were bundled up, and I got windburn, sunburn, and everything else. I mean, it was not the most pleasant place to be.
Oh, it was brutal, Tom. And when you're out there for, you know, and again, you were there before we were. We got in about noon, 1 o'clock. And then that rally's not until, you know, Trump didn't start speaking until I think around 8 o'clock. That's a long time for the crowd. The weather, it was beautiful, but man, you're right. Those winds were insane.
There were people Friday night at 7 o'clock that went in and were there all night long.
Tom, I'm curious. There was, you know, again, the crowd, I think, would have been larger had there been better weather. But I still think that the issue in Georgia is this battle between the establishment Republicans and the Trump Republicans.
You're spot on, and more people need to know about Burt Jones and John Gordon and David Perdue, because even on WDUN, which I listen a lot to because I live in that area, they're still talking about election integrity as being, you know, a conspiracy theory.
Well, based on what I heard from people, and we talked to a lot of people, that is that's a big issue for voters. And look, if we saw what happened with Mo Brooks, he said it was time to move on, and the voters said, you know what, it's time for you to move on. So
that's where I am. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind it was stolen.
My concern, Tom, if that does not get fixed, the Stacey Abrams is going to be your next governor.
I agree.
That doesn't get fixed. And I know that a David Perdue may not be the best candidate, but he's the only one you got going up against Brian Kemp. I mean, that's it.
And I hope he gets the bounce out of last weekend. But Trump said, and you probably heard him, he's going to be back to Georgia before May 24th. And so, you know, there again, he's preaching to the choir.
Yeah. All right, Tom, it was great meeting you, and thank you for listening to the program, and thanks for all the great work you did keeping everybody safe. You know, the Secret Service did a terrific job keeping watch over everybody. Ran into Ralph Reed, who was, you know, it's interesting about, and again, talking about the effectiveness of the Republican Party. Ralph Reed and the Faith and Freedom Coalition, they actually registered more Republican voters than the Republican Party did back in 2020. So you say, Todd, what is that? It tells me that the Republican Party was not fully on board the Trump train. And there are people out there, Todd, we just have to move on. We have to move on. Trump had his day. Now it's time to move on. We have to get someone else. Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. Who else do you know that's generating crowds like that? Let's just say it's 10,000 people. We'll go with the low ball. 10,000 people showed up. Are anybody else, you see anybody else out there who is generating that size of a crowd? And again, I think it was 15,000 to 20,000. But are you seeing anybody out there on either side of the political aisle? Are you seeing any independents out there or libertarians that are generating that sort of a response? I'm not. And when you do, when you find that person, let me know, and we'll check them out. Let's go to Susie in Georgia. Susie, I understand you were at the rally.
Yes, I was. From about 6:15 a.m. till the president left.
Woo! Susie, are you a little windburned?
Yes, I was. Across my yes. cheeks and nose.
Woo!
But I did not get cold. I was so layered, I did not get cold.
Oh, you got a layer. Yeah, that's the right way to go. Well, what did you think about the rally?
Well, that was my first time, and I was determined I was going to go because it's about 30 minutes from me, and I said if I had to go by myself, I was going to go. And I saw you, and I thought you did a great job, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate your show. And I just want to ask you, what is my president like in person when you get to talk to him?
Susie, he is the nicest. He's very personable, and he's just a down-to-earth guy, you know, who has a lot of money in the bank. But he's really, and I think that's why he connects with us, is that he behaves like us. You know, he's just kind of a regular guy.
Right. And I was sitting two rows from the podium, and I just watched his face. He is not angry and hateful like Mr. Biden is. He just doesn't come across me as being hateful and mean.
No, he's not. And Susie, I mean, when you understand his sense of humor, then you get this guy, and you get President Trump. And you're right. And we're going to play some audio coming up in the next hour to illustrate your point that Joe Biden is just a mean, angry man. And Trump is filled with hope, and he knows what it's going to take, Susie, to get this country back on the right track.
Right. Well, I've been on board with him from the time he walked down that escalator I've not given up on my president, and I'm not going to, and he gives me hope, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that I went by myself, and I'm just thankful for the opportunity that it was at my doorstep.
Well, Susie, thank you for those kind words, and thanks for coming out, and most importantly, thanks for listening to WDUN, great radio station there in North Georgia. A lot, you know, when we shouted out WDUN, people really cheered. We're going to play some of the audio coming back from the speech. Hey, folks, again, it was another big rally with President Trump. Newsmax was the only major news network to cover that rally, and that's one of the reasons I made the switch, and I watch Newsmax all the time. By the way, they've got some of the best coverage on Ukraine. They've also been exposing the dangers of Joe Biden, millions of people tuning into Newsmax, even President Trump. And that's why you need to sign up for Newsmax's Trump list to get all the latest intel on the president. All you need to do is text the word SKIP, S-K-I-P, to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747. The president, getting ready to make that big announcement. He sort of hinted at it over the weekend. And you're going to want to be the first to know. And you can do that by texting SKIP to 39747. And Susie is right. Grace, we are all windburned. Caleb Park, our managing editor, went with us. He got to meet President Trump. And man, that wind was a blowing.
Yeah, I can tell in the video, but you persevered.
We hung in there. I didn't realize I was the only person under 6 foot one that was speaking. And so I'm like, great, what do I do with the microphone here? I was the first
Bring
one up to bat.
Down.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what we did. All right, got to take a break here, folks. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes. Welcome to the stage, conservative American commentator, Todd Starnes.
Hello, Georgia! Well, first, I want to say a very special welcome to all of the listeners of WDUN, our great radio affiliate here in North Georgia, and also the great conservative Christian university you have here, Truett McConnell University. Now, I want to say something. It wasn't too long ago that Barack Obama, he said that people like you and me were bitter that we clung to our guns and our religion. And it wasn't too long ago that Hillary Clinton said that we were a basket of deplorables, irredeemable. Well, I don't know about you, but I am proud to call myself a gun-toting, Bible-clinging son of a Baptist. And I'm not bitter. I'm blessed. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to save America from the godless Democrats. Now, I want to say something about our great president, Donald J. Trump. He loves America. He loves our troops. He loves Almighty God, and this is a man who knows his pronouns. Now, let me say something about the Biden administration. It's a troubling thing that's happened. Everything President Trump said that would happen has happened. And this president has turned our nation into a dumpster fire. We have a vice president who cannot pass the time of day. We have a Supreme Court justice who doesn't know the difference between a man and a woman. And we have a commander-in-chief who has the intelligence of a bowl of cottage cheese. There's a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
All right, well, let me jump in here. By the way, the speech goes on, and you can watch the whole thing over at toddstarnes.com. And President Trump, during his remarks later in the evening, gave us a little shout-out as well.
Todd Starnes is here. Todd, thank you, Todd. What a job he's done.
Well, thank you, Mr. That's my new ringtone, by the way, Grace Baker. So if you call in, leave me a message. So it's
it could be your, like, wake-up alarm.
And so anyway, the Trump campaign, very happy. I was the MC, sort of kicked things off, and they said they want me to come out on the campaign trail again. So I said, happy to oblige, Mr. President. All right, coming up here, folks, a serious question. We have some great guests, Mike Huckabee, Monica Crowley going to be here. Who is running the White House? Who is in charge of the White House? Because it is not Joe Biden. 844-747-8868. We'll get into that question. That's 844-747-8868. Hey, our website, toddstearns.com. Check that out. Read our stories. Download the newsletter, the podcast. Great resources for you there. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, all you beautiful people out there. And, you know, Grace, I say that with all sincerity. I mean, you know, we are one of the few talk radio hosts that actually get out from behind the microphone and go out and meet our great listeners.
Like a real person.
So we can say, matter-of-factly, that we've got a drop-dead gorgeous audience. And we're one of the weird, it's sort of weird because talk radio is mostly a guy audience, but our talk show, we have predominantly more women than men who listen to the program. And they're all beautiful.
Yep, what can you say?
Conservative women are just, and the men are handsome. I mean, they're, you know, again, you just don't want to go up to a guy and say, you know, sir, you're a handsome man.
I mean, you can. I mean,
you'll get slapped like Chris Rock or something. but anyway, I've just noticed that, and we post a lot of the pictures, a lot of the ladies who came up at the Trump rally and said, you know, oh, can we get a selfie together?
I mean, studies have been done about conservative women being better looking, objectively
that
speaking.
That is true. That
there
is
really
true.
Have been.
You know, another great looking conservative woman is our good friend Monica Crowley on the Patriot Bubble Newsmaker line. Hello, Monica.
Hi. Well, I'll take that compliment all day long, Todd Starnes.
Awesome. You know, Monica, you're just a great American patriot, but you're also, we're celebrating today on the program because this is launch day, inauguration day for the brand new Monica Crowley podcast.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on today, Todd, and thank you so much for giving me a chance to talk about my new podcast, which launches today. It's going to drop here in a couple of hours. You know, I've been approached over many years about doing a podcast, and I never felt like the time was right to do it. I was off doing other things, serving in the Trump administration and media and other things. But now I feel like the time is not just right, but it's necessary to do this show because the country is being assaulted both from within and also from without. We've got external enemies and internal ones. And I felt like this is an existential crisis for this country that I love so much. And that's why I wanted to get started on a podcast. So we're launching today. You can download it on every podcast platform that you know, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart, wherever you get your podcast. Download the Monica Crowley podcast, subscribe. And will automatically come to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
I love it. Joe Rogan needs to be very concerned right about now, now that you've jumped into this. What are some of the things people can expect on the Monica Crowley podcast?
Well, you know, the organizing principle of everything that I do in the media, all of the books I've written, all of the radio shows I've hosted, television shows I've hosted, all of my guest appearances, all of the interviews I do, the one thing that drives me is a deep and profound love of America and everything that this country has stood for and continues to stand for. Our history, of course, built on individual freedom and economic liberty. That's what made this country, which is the greatest experiment in human liberty. Those are the things that made this country great in a very short amount of time. This country has been very good to me and my family and everyone I know. And to see it under assault by the Marxist communist left in this country that has now joined forces with, because everything has been corrupted in America, but you've got big tech, big corporate media, big pharma, big science, big corporations, and of course, you know, it's all driven by big government and all the lies that they tell us all day long. Those are the internal threats. And then you have external threats coming from state sponsors of terrorism like Iran and big challengers like China, but you also have the transnational threats coming from the World Economic Forum, where they seek to erase borders and destroy sovereignty in the pursuit of a one world government. All of these threats are very severe. They are existential. And now we don't have any kind of strong leadership in America. Actually, we've got leadership that's going along down this path to destroy the country. That's why I wanted to launch this podcast, because it's a real moment here for those of us who are true patriots, who see what's actually going on, to mobilize to try to save America.
You know, Monica, as we look at what's been happening just over the past several days, President Biden in Poland making gaffe after gaffe after gaffe, and there's got to be a stronger word to use. I mean, he is putting this country in a very dangerous spot with these comments about, you know, the 82nd Airborne will be boots on the ground in Ukraine, or that we're going to use chemical weapons against the Russians, or now calling for regime change. And you do wonder, who is actually calling the shots here in the White House? It cannot be Joe Biden.
Well, that's also terrifying. So we are in a slow motion constitutional crisis, and I'm going to talk about this extensively on my podcast today. We're in a slow-mo constitutional crisis. Why? Because the president of the United States doesn't know what planet he's on, and the vice president of the United States is in a perpetual state of nervous breakdown. So when you've got both the president and the vice president ill-equipped, unable to deal with the challenges in front of the country, you're in a constitutional crisis. The question about who's actually pulling the strings, Biden is, he's constantly going off the map. It's one thing if he and Kamala Harris make a hash of domestic issues while they're home here in the U.S. It's another thing entirely when they make a hash of things when they're on foreign soil dealing with issues of life and death and war and peace. Okay? And so now it seems like the time to take the car keys away from Grandpa and get the 25th Amendment going. Even if you get Kamala, you got to have someone who's corpus mentis as the president, and we do not have that now. I do think that Barack and Michelle Obama, along with the entire Obama machine, have a great deal of influence on this White House via Susan Rice, who is sitting in the White House doing God knows what. By the way, Todd, you never hear from her, do you?
No, you don't.
Susan Rice, who was given interviews all day long in the Obama years, you don't see her or hear from her at all. That tells me she's very instrumental here.
Monica Crowley on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. And by the way, her new podcast launching today, the Monica Crowley podcast. We've got a link to it, direct link on the live show blog. And you, again, like Monica said, you can find it wherever you get your podcast, and you're going to want to get this to stay informed and educated, folks. And it's a serious podcast for serious Americans, and we all need to be serious these days. You know, Monica, one of the things that I've noticed just over the past week or so, there has been a trend in the mainstream media shifting against the Biden administration and their policies. So they're starting to play hardball here. What do you think is going on?
Well, understand that anytime you have Democrats controlling Congress and or the White House, and you start to see some negative stories, negative coverage about those Democrats, understand that the members of the press doing this are not suddenly, they're not doing it suddenly because they're Republicans or they want to see Republicans win. They're doing it because they're trying to help the Democrats get their act together. So when you see these negative stories, understand that the press is putting it out there because they see what the reality is in terms of poll numbers and how this is going to be a bloodbath for their fellow Democrats come November, assuming all these races are clean. And they're trying to send up a warning sign. These are flags, red flags that they're sending up to Democrats in the White House on Capitol Hill, that they better straighten out their act or they are really going to lose it, like in an existential way come November, which we can only hope. This has to be like a party-ending event on November 8th. And people in the press understand that. And I think what they're trying to do is actually help the White House and help Democrats on Capitol Hill to try to focus them on what's coming down the pike unless they change their tune at least a little bit.
All right. We're going to leave it there. Monica, again, congratulations on the new podcast. Looking forward to listening to that. And you said it'll be out later, the first episode later this afternoon.
Yes. And thank you so much, Todd. Yes. The first episode drops later this afternoon. We're going to post it. So subscribe now. It's called the Monica Crowley Podcast. It's up on every podcast platform. Subscribe now. So as soon as we drop today's show and every show, it will automatically go to your phone and you will have it at your fingertips.
All right. Good stuff. Monica, gotta run. Always great having you on the show.
Always a pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
All right. The great, brilliant, and beautiful Monica Crowley and the podcast, the Monica Crowley Podcast. We've got to get her to fill in on the show one of these days, Grace. Let's try to make that happen. But anyway, it's going to be a great, great podcast, and I hope that you will add that to your list. And also add ours, by the way, which you can do over at toddstearns.com. You want to listen to the radio show all 3 hours? You don't have a radio station in your community that carries the show? Hey, we got you covered. We have an app. All you have to do is go to the toddstearns.com and look for the app app button and click on it, and you'll be able to download our app. Not only will you be able to listen to our show, but we have 24 hours of conservative content. Sebastian Gorka, Lars Larson, Larry Elder, Rita Cosby, all sorts of great hosts for you to enjoy and really build this sense of community on the radio. All right, we're going to take a break here. Before we go to break, I want to share this NBC News poll with you. Came out Sunday. President's approval rating at an all-time low. More than 60% of the nation says he's doing a bad job. 7 in 10 Americans have little confidence the president can deal with the Russia war. 8 in 10 fear a nuclear war. Is that you? Are you one of those people? Are you concerned that Joe Biden might somehow get us involved in a war with Russia? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
What is driving it? Well, a couple things here. First of all, you've got the war in Russia and Ukraine. There's a lot of unity in the poll when you ask folks about their attitude towards Ukraine, their attitude towards Russia, their attitude towards Putin. But when it comes to Biden's handling of the situation, you can see here he's underwater. 41 approve, 52 disapprove. And then, as you mentioned, it is the economy. Look at this. Biden's handling of the economy, now almost 2-1 disapprove in this poll. 33-63. Again, compare this to our previous poll in January. Back then, he was closer to 40%. Now he's closer to 30%. And long term, since the start of his presidency, 2021, this number, the approval of Joe Biden on the economy, has just ticked down and down and down. This is a new low for him on the economy, 33-63. Ask voters sort of an open-ended question here. What do you think the most important issue facing the country is? And there you can see the top two now, cost of living, jobs in the economy. Russia, Ukraine war obviously capturing everybody's attention right now, but it's the cost of living, it's jobs, the economy. Those are the two answers you get from Americans. And I thought this was interesting. When you pose the question this way, as we did in this poll to voters, you say, hey, both of these things are very important. Controlling inflation and improving the economy, ending the Russia-Ukraine war. Let's stipulate they're both important. Which, though, do you voters think should be Joe Biden's top priority? Again, you can see here it goes 68-29 when it comes to dealing with the economy.
It's bad out there, and I'm hearing it from you folks. We saw it firsthand as we were driving from Memphis to north of Atlanta, Commerce, Georgia, gas prices just unbelievable, even at the Buc-ee's. We went to the Buc-ee's, and it was even expensive there. And this is going to have an impact. And that's why Republicans, we've got to get it together, we've got to get unified, and we've got to focus on stopping the Biden administration. You know, Monica says that we're in a, and I like how she phrases, we're in a slow-mo constitutional crisis, a slow-motion constitutional crisis. I mean, do you really believe that Joe Biden is capable of being a wartime president? Because he's getting us involved in a shooting war with the Russians. I mean, it's tragic, tragic what Biden is doing. Cut number five, please.
Sanctions never deter. You keep talking about that.
Purpose of the sanctions has always been and continues to be deterrence.
The purpose of the sanctions, in the first instance, is to try to deter Russia from going to war.
The president believes that sanctions are intended to deter.
They're meant to prevent and deter a large-scale invasion.
We want them to have a deterrent effect.
The sanctions are designed, in the first instance, to try to deter Russia from taking further aggression.
As well as our efforts to both try to deter Russia through sanctions.
If you pull the trigger on that deterrent, well, then it doesn't exist anymore as a deterrent.
And it goes on and on and on. And then over the weekend, we've got Biden standing there and, you know, talking to NATO, talking to Poland and the leaders there. And they're having to come out. The staff is having to come out and correct him every single time.
For God's sake, this man cannot remain power.
The White House trying to make clear in the aftermath, or making very clear in the aftermath, he was not, in fact, calling for regime change.
And you're going to see when you're there, and some of you have been there. You're going to see women, young people standing in the middle of front of a damn tank.
White House officials are telling us that President Biden does not intend to send U.S. troops into Ukraine.
If chemical weapons were used in Ukraine, would that trigger a military response from NATO?
It would trigger a response in kind.
The United States has no intention of using chemical weapons, period, under any circumstance.
Folks, you can't make this up. So you say, Todd, why is this a big deal? Well, let me explain why. Because what Joe Biden did was make Vladimir Putin even stronger. Now Putin can come out and he's got the evidence. He's got the audio of Joe Biden, the leader of the free world, saying that it's time to take out Vladimir Putin. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Putin, I suspect Putin is wanting us to get involved in this war. So what if somebody stages an assassination attempt on Vladimir Putin? Who do you think is going to get the blame? Joe Biden, he has been played like a fiddle. An off-tune, out-of-tune fiddle. It is bad. Even the folks over at CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Haven't heard from you in a while, Judge Joe Brown. Thank you, sir. CNN cut number nine.
Unfortunately, the message is confused, which is why President Biden, I think, kind of worked himself up in this speech, and then he made a comment that he did. You know, but the White House's response, though, to say what he really meant is really gaslighting the American people. We know that he really doesn't want Putin to be in power. And they could have just said, listen, we all recognize that Putin is evil. What he's doing is evil. But the policy of the United States is, in fact, to get to a position of peace in Ukraine, and we're going to arm the Ukrainians to make sure they can get to negotiated peace. The other thing I would say, too, is this isn't his only gaffe. President Biden also made the gaffe about sending the 82nd Airborne into Ukraine, which we're not doing, and he also said that the United States would respond in kind if there was a chemical weapons attack on the part of Russia. So this really was, it was not a good, I think, trip for the president, because the three big gaffes really are at cross purposes with the overall message from this administration.
So the question is it time for Congress, or rather the cabinet, is it time for the cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment? Is Biden capable of being president of these United States? 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. Our website, again, is toddstarns.com. You can watch all of that video there. And by the way, you can also download our free app at the very top of the page. Got to check out that app. You're going to love it. We'll be right back, America. right. Hello, America. Welcome back. So glad you're hanging out with us today on the Todd Stearns radio program. Have you made the switch over to Patriot Mobile? If not, why not? What are you guys waiting on? Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, they're actually putting their money where their phones are. They're donating a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes we care about. And that's why I'm encouraging you to switch to Patriot Mobile right now. All you have to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And be sure to use my first name as your promo code, Todd. They're going to give you free activation and a free gift, and they've got plans to fit any budget, no matter how big or small. And if you're a veteran or a first responder, so get this, they're going to give you even bigger discounts. Families, if you have multi lines, like a lot of different, you have a lot of kids, they're going to give you a discount on that as well. PatriotMobile.com/Todd or 972-PATRIOT. Use my first name as your promo code. Crazy story came across my attention yesterday from Pennsylvania, where there are a lot of big political battles. The Pennsylvania Family Institute hosted a gubernatorial forum. So they had a bunch of the candidates for governor, and they were having a get-together, a good Q&A, and YouTube blocked the video, took it down. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Michael Geard, the president of the Pennsylvania Family Institute, joins us. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be on with you.
All right. Well, first of all, give us a rundown of what happened at this forum.
Well, so we had seven of the nine GOP gubernatorial candidates join us for a two-hour wide-ranging forum. We had a radio talk show host from Philadelphia, Rich Zioli, and I moderated the forum. We had a list of questions that we were going to ask each of the candidates. All of them asked the very same questions. We ended up getting a total of 11 questions in the 2 hours. Each candidate had about a minute and 15 seconds to answer the questions as they saw fit. And we asked a range of questions that are on the minds of Pennsylvania voters, things like crime and things like the prices at the gas pump and energy that's under our feet in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania with Marcella Shale. We talked about the sanctity of life. We talked about the whole issue of males swimming on the women's swim team kind of situations that we see happening, and so on and so forth. One of the questions we asked was about election integrity, specifically asking about the law in Pennsylvania that allows for excuse-free mail-in ballot voting in Pennsylvania's elections, and the questions that voters have about election integrity, and just ask the candidates, what would you do to restore faith in elections in Pennsylvania? Those were some of the questions we asked, and it went wonderfully. We got great reviews and comments. The candidates said it was one of the best forums they had attended throughout the whole season. People who have viewed it on the listened to it on the radio or viewed the live stream, great comments coming across the board. AP wrote about it, so on and so forth. And then suddenly we get an email from YouTube yesterday morning saying that it violated their community standards and their policy against misinformation.
All right, let me jump in here because there's a lot to unpack. Again, Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Michael, you mentioned a couple of the issues you talked about, and I'm wondering if it is about voter integrity that really caused YouTube some problems, or if it was the transgender issues, because a lot of people have been getting whacked for both of those.
Well, you know, when I first saw the email come in, initially I thought it was the discussion that we had on the swimmer there at the University of Pennsylvania and what's going on in classrooms with teaching of inappropriate sexual material and promotion of the transgender agenda. We asked questions about those sorts of things. So that was sort of the conclusion I jumped to. Now, YouTube says that they do not permit any discussion or statements suggesting that the 2020 U.S. presidential election was somehow fraught with fraud or wrongdoing, or that the results were not as reported. We didn't ask a question specific about that, but some of the candidates did mention the 2020 presidential election. But then you think about some of the other issues, like we talked about crime in Philadelphia. Well, YouTube might not want to broadcast that the Democrats in Philadelphia are having a hard time dealing with the crime issue. You know, so who knows what triggers YouTube these days, because they don't really tell you. And I just went online to file an appeal with YouTube, wrote a lengthy kind of statement in terms of why I thought they were wrong. We tried to post the appeal, and they only allow you 800 characters, including spaces, in order to even make your case.
Dear fascist, you can start that way, Michael. This is troubling because, again, it was not some sort of a an attack on anybody. This was gubernatorial candidates having discussions about the issues of the day, and yet YouTube doesn't want people to know that there are conservatives out there, and they don't want them to know about their campaigns.
Yeah, it really worries me, Todd, to contemplate what may be coming in this 2022 election season. It's very significant because so many people get their information from, online sources. You know, the big tech and all that stuff is still where a lot of people find out about these sorts of things. And to see them pull the trigger this early on something as neutral as the candidate forum that we held makes me wonder, will candidates, especially conservative candidates, be able to get their message out to the people?
All right, so you guys have filed your appeal. Have you been hearing from other people? I mean, you're in a rare group here, which is a very large rare group. Tucker Carlson, Babylon Bee, they pulled my CPAC speech last week. So you've got a lot of conservatives that are becoming victims of this YouTube censorship.
Yeah, we're starting to hear from folks. You know, we sent the release, which you said you saw yesterday, and we're thankful for that. Sunday afternoon, sending out a press release is not, prime time to get it in front of people. But yes, we're hearing about it because ultimately it comes down to restricting political speech. When you think about the First Amendment and specifically freedom of speech, a key component is making sure that we have a free expression of ideas related to who we elect and who leads our country, what we can say about our government. And this is a direct assault on that, which is why it's so seriously troubling about what YouTube has done here.
It is incredibly troubling. And you're right, for candidates heading into the midterms and then beyond, this is very dangerous because social media can basically disappear you without you doing a single thing and without you being able to do anything about it.
Yeah, and it makes us wonder. I mean, I've had people call us and say they wonder, did someone report this video? Is, there's someone with a different political agenda or something flagging YouTube and saying, hey, this was a successful forum. The ideas that are presented there are ones that resonate with lots of Pennsylvanians across the political spectrum. Maybe, there was someone who reported it to try to get that taken down so that those positive ideas are not heard by the voters.
Well, that could very well be. I mean, that is a possibility. Well, Michael, here's what we're going to do. We're going to be posting a story about this up on our website, toddstearns.com. We will get the information out, and we'll try to put a little bit of pressure on YouTube. Hopefully, they'll do the right thing and put that video back up.
And we hope so, too, and that's what our appeal is asking them to do. We also have it on our Pennsylvania Family Institute website, which is pafamily.org. There's a link there as well. So they haven't completely suppressed it. But YouTube is a big channel where a lot of people, do a Google search. Google owns YouTube, and they may not find this then, and that's a real troubling thing.
All right. We're going to leave it there. Michael, good luck to you. Michael Gear, everybody, from Pennsylvania Family Institute. And we're going to light a fire under YouTube on this one. What a mess. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. You know, I was talking in the first hour about how important it is for Republicans to debate. And you just heard Michael Gear say they had a bunch of Republicans, seven or eight Republicans running for governor, and they had a forum. They want to make sure everybody is right on the issues, and I respect that. The same thing needs to happen in Georgia. Now, you folks in Georgia are going to make the decision, is Kelvin King your guy, or is Gary Black your guy, or Herschel Walker? Now, certainly Herschel has the name recognition, but if Herschel Walker does not want to debate the other candidates, I got a problem with that. And quite frankly, if you refuse to debate in a Republican primary, if you refuse to debate, that should disqualify you from running as a Republican. Now, there's a situation here in Memphis that I want to share with you, because you guys, what's happening in Memphis politics is a microcosm of what's happening in politics all over America, where you have a bunch of rhinos who are causing problems. A bunch of rhinos who refuse to stand up and defend conservative values and Republican values. And that's a problem in my estimation. So anyway, last night I was at a fundraising event for a guy running for the Shelby County Commission here in Memphis, Tennessee. And there is a current Republican commissioner. Her name is Brandon Morrison. Brandon is a girl. Brandon Morrison, a lady, and a very well off, very influential, very wealthy, and very powerful. She has been siding with the Democrats on a lot of the big issues of the day, including the mask mandate. It was her vote. Her vote was the deciding vote. And she basically pulled a John McCain remember the John McCain, the Obamacare vote, where he looked at the C-SPAN camera and did the thumbs down and he screwed the Republican voters? That's what Brandon Morrison is doing to the Republicans here in Memphis and Shelby County, Tennessee. So there's a guy named Jordan Carpenter who's a young Republican. He's an attorney, a war veteran, family man, got a wife and kids, small kids, and he's throwing his hat into the ring, and he's going to be going up against her. So you folks in Memphis listening to us on KWAM, you need to be aware of this. Now, you may very well say the government has every right to shut down my business. I don't think many of those people listen to this program. But if you believe in the basic fundamentals of what it means to be a conservative, then you're going to want to support this guy, Jordan Carpenter, who is a great American patriot. But it's appalling, and we need to start sending messages to these rhinos like Brandon Morrison that we're not going to tolerate this kind of stuff anymore. You know what? If you want to act like a Democrat, then go join the Democrats. At least be honest about it. No, come on out of the closet. Nobody's going to yell at you. But if you're going to be a Republican and then you behave like a Democrat, yeah, people are going to yell. And rightfully so. All right, let's go to the phones here. David on the line from Memphis, Tennessee on KWAM. Hey, David, what's up?
Well, first of all, I've met Jordan Carpenter. He's a wonderful man. That's not what I called about, but you're right. He's a good Christian man, and will be very honest with us, and I think he's a great candidate. But what I actually called about is why do we continue to use YouTube and Facebook and things like that? Why are the churches supporting somebody that's out to censor them and shut them down? Why don't we use the alternative social media that's not out to shut us down and censor us?
David, that's a fair question. Here's my response, because we do have a YouTube channel and we have a Rumble channel and Getter. So we're on everywhere. And my philosophy is we're going to go wherever people will let us broadcast. And, you know, I think that's important to get our message out there. The reality is, at least for us, we get more traffic video wise from Rumble and Getter than we do YouTube. So I think a lot of people do it because they've been doing it for years and it's just out of habit. And quite frankly, a lot of people just are in the habit, so they don't want to change.
Right. I agree with that. And I think that if we would quit putting things on YouTube and Facebook and go to Rumble and Getter, people would go switch over because they want to see the content.
Oh, no doubt about it.
And so, I'm an advocate of churches stopping to put stuff on YouTube and going to an alternative that's not looking to shut them down. Because that's their goal, is to shut us down.
Oh, that's
it.
And David, that's why.
To support them.
And David, that's why, you know, when I moved back home to Memphis, I bought this news radio station because, you know, the conservatives in this part of the country were getting censored. And even the so-called conservative talk radio, other talk radio stations are all run out of Memphis. So we needed people here, boots on the ground, if we're going to turn this part of the state back into red.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, David, good hearing from you. And give us a call back. We got to run for a break here. 844-747-8868. The community coffee went down the wrong way, Grace. I was trying to take a swig. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
It's the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
All right, Governor Mike Huckabee coming up in the next hour. Grace, have you heard about what's happening down in Miami Beach? Spring break, when you were at the University of Memphis.
Yeah.
You go on spring break?
No, I just stayed here. It was always too chaotic and crazy. Too many tourists, too many kids on the loose.
No beach week for you?
Nah.
All-nighters, keggers?
Not my scene.
None of that kind of stuff.
No.
All right, well, that's good. So you're a good girl.
I tried.
Well, anyway, the big trouble down in Miami Beach, Grace.
I'm not surprised.
Now, back when I was in college, back in the 80s, it used to be a lot of fun. You'd just go down, have a good time at the beach, and goof around, maybe stay up all night, sleep all day. And then MTV. I blame MTV for all of this. Are they still a thing with the young people?
Yeah.
Generation, whatever this is.
Yes.
So MTV, back when they actually played music, and there was a time when that's what MTV was. You know, you would watch MTV for the music videos.
Sure.
And they started doing, this was really after I got out of college, they started doing the beach week. So they'd go down there and broadcast. There was all sorts of debauchery in a bikini.
I can imagine.
It was crazy. So now spring break has turned into, I don't know, it's a war zone. So Miami Beach, which is a great area normally, yeah, they've had to declare a state of emergency.
Jeez.
Because of the violence. I mean, it's unbelievable what's happening down there. It turns out that people have been, they brought their guns down. People have been getting shot.
What in the world?
We've got the video up on ToddStearns.com. And Grace, it is unbelievable. A couple of girls are doing something very unmentionable to an automobile. Basically, they're humping the car.
My gosh.
And they're twerking and doing all sorts of, you know, things that are very inappropriate in public. And possibly in private, too.
Yeah, that's not desirable.
Fights. I mean, it looks like the old Jerry Springer show right there in the middle of the street. And
let me guess, no parents around because, you know,
no, they're all spring breakers. Yeah, I'm not sure how many. I'm looking at the crowd and I'm like, are these really college students?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what's really going on here? Because the college students are like, oh, no, these are all locals. I'm fairly certain that's probably not the case.
Why would, no, no way it's locals. No way.
I don't think it is.
Nah.
But all I can tell, I mean, it's, you know, stores them getting robbed. I mean, it's just horrible down there. So anyway, we've got the video and you can see it for yourself. I can already hear the complaints. Starnes is a racist. Okay. Well, you know what? We just post the videos, folks. We just post the videos. What people are doing in the videos, that's on them. All right. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. If I was a business owner, I'd have a gun. I mean, just protect your property. All right, stick around, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. I love you. G.I. Jane 2. Can't wait to see it. All right? that was a nice one. Okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard. Oh, wow. Wow. Will Smith just smacked out of me.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
It was a G.I. Jane jump.
Keep my wife's name out your f***ing mouth.
I'm going to, okay? Okay. That was a greatest night in the history of television. Okay.
All right. Okay. That's how it went down at the Oscars last night. Nobody was watching, which is why we wanted to play this audio for you. But now everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about what happened last night. A lot of questions as to whether or not this was a real thing. folks, I'm beginning to believe this was, in fact, a real attack. And I say that based on Will Smith's reaction once he sat back down. I mean, there was a lot of rage going on there. Andy Richter, a lot of comedians are enraged, and they're like, what is going on here? This is open war on comedians. It's an ugly thing that's happening. And Kathy Griffin says, remember her from severed head Donald Trump fame? Let me tell you something, Kathy Griffin writing, it's very bad practice to walk up on stage and physically assault a comedian. Or anybody else, for that matter, if I could just add that in there. Now we all have to worry about who wants to be the next Will Smith in comedy clubs and theaters. Actually, she's got a pretty good point there. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great American Patriot and has one of the top weekend shows in America over on TBN, our good friend Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor, hope you're doing good.
Yeah, and Todd, I am not going to walk into your studio and just cold cock you. I'm just not going to do that. And I would never do that because you're a good guy.
Thank you for that, Governor.
Just don't be afraid. It ain't going to happen.
It is the craziest thing. I will give Chris Rock props. I mean, he knows how to take a punch. Good for him.
Well, and he also reacted, I thought, very professionally. I mean, I'm sure it shocked him out of his gourd. But he reacted with control, and he didn't try to escalate it. In fact, if anything, he tried to de-escalate. And that was to his credit. I think he was just stunned because I'm sure Chris Rock, like most comics, think, okay, I can say what I want and get away with it. And quite frankly, you know, there used to be a time in America, even if you said something offensive, the person who took offense would wait till after the public moment, come up to you, and then he might deck you. Or he might just chew you out or say something nasty about you in the tabloids. But what happened last night? That was, I mean, one of a kind of deal, no doubt.
It was, I mean, it was surprising. What I found interesting is that a lot of the people, the same people that are saluting Will Smith for defending his wife's honor, are the same people who are out there blasting toxic masculinity. So,
yeah. Yeah, you know, and besides, how do we know whether Jada Plunkett Smith is a woman or not? Because even the Supreme Court justice nominee doesn't really know what a woman is. So why would you take offense to something said about a person? It could be about a guy, could be about a lady, could be about a confused person. And I'm not trying to be facetious, but I want to just say that the liberals have tied themselves in a knot that they can't untangle. And that's part of their problem, is that they have made all rules so convoluted about what's okay and what's not okay. And I'm kind of, you know, with some people to say, gee, if somebody says something nasty about your wife and makes a joke about her, and especially if she has some physical issue, alopecia in this case, maybe you defend her honor and you just don't let the guy get away with it. But to go up and slug a guy, probably not the best thing to do.
Governor Mike Huckabee on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Governor, just a few moments ago, Governor Ron DeSantis signing into law the Parental Rights in Education Bill. The left and the media calling it the Don't Say Gay Bill, even though it never says gay in the Don't Say Gay Bill. Disney already coming out of the gate and condemning all of this. They're under fire from these sex and gender groups. Your reaction to what the governor did today?
Well, the governor did something Disney didn't do. He actually read the bill and he knew what was in it. Clearly, Disney executives are kowtowing to a ghost because there's nothing in that bill that ought to offend anybody with one eye and half a lick of sense. I mean, this bill basically says that you can't teach sexuality to kids up through kindergarten because that's something parents ought to do. Now, what parent would want a government school teaching sexuality, teaching all sorts of things, including transgenderism, to their three-year-old in preschool? Does anybody really think that's a good idea? If they do, I think they're very sick. And Disney, if they'd read that bill, knew that this was one of those ways in which the very dishonest so-called human rights campaign has created something out of thin air. They tried to create an issue, start divisiveness, when in fact they should have been championing this and saying, you know, we will agree with the Florida legislature, we will agree with all parents, that there are certain things that should happen in the context of a family, and some things ought to certainly wait until a child is old enough to better understand what he or she is being taught.
As a matter of fact, Governor, this is how things started last night before the punchlines happened. Cut number two.
We're going to have a great night tonight, and for you people in Florida, we're going to have a gay night.
I mean, that's all it is with that crown. That's all it is, Governor. Yeah.
And don't you know they really won the hearts of America, especially middle America, with that little outrageous piece? Most people in the middle of the country, they know more about what that Florida law does than these goofballs who get up on the stage at the Oscars, who I promise you, none of them have read that bill. They don't really know what's in it. They only know what they've been told, and what they've been told is an outright lie. What I like that DeSantis and others have done, what I loved about Trump, he fights back. He doesn't just say, oh, let us apologize. Let us change the language of the bill. Let us go back to making it okay to teach transgenderism to a three-year-old. No, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to use our brains, and we're not going to let people bully us into positions that are not only illogical, but that are actually very dangerous to little bitty kids.
And you know, a story that sort of got lost in all of this, there were an untold number of Disney employees who identify as either Christians or they're conservative or both, and they wrote an open letter. And they're over this. They're saying, you know what? We are bullied for our beliefs. We have to remain silent. We don't agree with what Disney, the corporation, is doing right now. You know, why is it that our views are not heard in the corporate marketplace, and why are they being told to be quiet?
Great point. And the fact is, we're living in a time when tolerance means that you're tolerant of everything that's on the far left, but you're intolerant of anything you disagree with. And diversity isn't diversity. Diversity means uniformity to a one position, the farthest left position one can take. And it's interesting that Disney makes millions in China off the very people that use child labor, that enslaves, imprisons, and murders Uyghurs. I want to know, when is the Disney Corporation going to speak out about human rights violations of that level? They're not. And the reason is because they don't want to lose that great big Chinese market with all the money. Same reason that Nike won't. The same reason that Coca-Cola won't, or as I call them, Woca-Cola.
I love it, Woca-Cola. All right, Governor, we're going to have to leave it there. What's coming up on the big show this weekend?
Well, we're going to have, I think, a great time. Byron Donalds is one of the members of Congress from Florida. I'm sure we'll bring this issue up and many others, but he will be with us. Miranda Devine from the New York Post will talk about Hunter Biden's laptop from hell. But I don't know that we'll ever top last week's show, because my two dogs, Gumbo and Bandit, made their television debut. Now that the problem is, Todd, those dogs, after being on TV, they think they're celebrities. They want to get an agent, and they want their own show. I don't know what we're going to do with them.
You know, we got to call Mike Lindell. They got a great little doggy bed that he's. I don't. You know, Grace Baker, Governor Grace Baker. When you mentioned Gumbo and Bandit, her eyes, she just popped up, because she's got Merlot, a Dalmatian, and you were doing something this weekend, Grace.
Yeah, I was at the dog park, and I was calling for Merlot, and a spectator is with his dog. He's standing there, and he goes, "Is that the Merlot? You must be Grace. I recognize your voice from the radio, and I know who Merlot is." Everybody in Memphis knows who Merlot is.
That's great. That is wonderful.
All right. I'm going to get a dog.
You need a dog. Watch my monologue from this weekend, and I'll explain why you need a dog. I explained that the 2020 election was decided by the absence of a dog. Now, if that whets your appetite to understand why I'm saying that, go to Huckabee.tv, find the monologue from this past weekend, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
All right, I'm gonna do that, Governor. All right, good stuff, Governor. We see you on the TV this weekend. Always appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Todd.
Woca-Cola, I love it. Well, there you go, Grace. I mean, I didn't realize the governor had two dogs.
Yeah, see, that's why he's so nice. Dog people are just nicer at the dog
park. Are you
saying
I'm not nice?
No. I'm just saying, as a general rule, dog people are happier. Also, right. I agree about 2020. I'm telling you, Trump, you got to get a dog.
So President Trump needs a dog.
He needs a dog.
All right, like one of those big mountain, like Burmese mountain dogs?
Yes, a big manly dog.
Not one of the ones that, you know, fit in your purse.
No.
You don't
or like
want
maybe a golden retriever, good old American dog.
Yeah, that's good. You know what? I think that's a good call. That's a good call.
It's good for the family image.
Good point. All right, let's go to the phones here. Our good friend Murph from Germantown, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. You know, a lot of KWAM callers today, and we love hearing from our hometown folks. Hey, Murph, what's going on?
Hey, Dr. Starnes, how are you? Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
I caught the tail end of your commentary about spring break. And I want to tell you the difference between the American male 50 years ago and the American male today. Those yours truly and a bunch of his Kappa Alpha buddies went to spring break at Fort Lauderdale, 72, 73, 74, for a week, Saturday to Saturday. We'd set aside a day to go crab fishing, didn't bother anybody. We'd set aside a day to go see the Yankees play a spring training game. And when we weren't doing that, we were driving around looking at the sights, preferably girls, every now and then.
As any red-blooded American man would do, Murph.
Yes, sir. And if we weren't doing that, we were at the city park just north of the Yankee Clipper on A1A, and we played basketball all day. And then, of course, at night, we'd hit a night spot or two. But you'll get a kick out of this. This is 1973. We're crab fishing at Port of the Everglades. Ships there from all over the world. It was fabulous. And about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, here comes a British frigate. Comes around the corner and docks. About 15 minutes later, here comes another British frigate. And about 20 minutes later, here comes a British submarine. Now, this is the third week of March, 1973, okay? And these guys, we got to talking to them after they docked and unloaded. These guys had left Portsmouth, England on Christmas Day and were doing submarine chasing drills all the way to Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Is that right?
Once in a lifetime experience.
Indeed it is.
You'd have to see it to believe it. When you saw that chief petty officer of that submarine pop out of there with tattoos on his elbows and on his knees. Blimey, it's hot here. I'll never forget that.
Blimey.
And then you've got these
Merv,
people in Miami.
Merv, I wish we could keep talking about spring break memories, but they're yelling at me, we got to take a break or the computer's going to cut us off. So, Merv, God bless you. Sounds like old Merv had a lot of fun. I would have enjoyed his version of spring break, going fishing, going crabbing. You know, back when I was a kid, Grace Baker, we would go crawfishing in the swamp, so we'd have to lay crawfish traps.
I've eaten crawfish one time.
Not during spring break, but, you know.
Oh, this wasn't during spring break either.
Yeah, you don't want to be throwing around, you know, raw chicken necks into crawfish traps. But those are the good old days. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. Open lines for the rest of the show, 844-747-8868. You want to weigh in on Will Smith, President Biden's senility? Give us a call, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, the Los Angeles Police Department putting out a statement here. I want to share this with you. The LAPD very concerned about the rise in violent crime and especially robberies. And they seem to be, the Democrats who run Los Angeles seem to be very confused and confounded. They don't understand. They released all of these criminals during the early days of the pandemic. They opened up the jails. And they released all these criminals back into society, and now here we are, and crime is just off the charts, and it's happening in every single city where they opened up the prisons and released all the inmates. Todd, we just don't understand. Why all the crime? We don't know what's going on. So the LAPD offering some advice, some guidance, Grace Baker. I want to read this to you. Over the last year, there's been a marked increase of armed robberies involving victims wearing expensive jewelry while in public. If it is visible, it can be a target. So they're telling, so they're blaming people who own nice jewelry.
What they're saying is you should wear a brown paper sack, and that's it. No adornment, nothing. Don't wear nice tennis shoes. Don't wear nice jewelry. Don't
nothing.
Carry a nice purse.
You need to dress like a homeless person.
Just wear a sack.
Just dress like a homeless person. You're also, so they're saying don't wear jewelry, expensive jewelry in public, and don't drive a fancy car. So you'll, and instead they say you should probably drive a clunker.
Yep. Don't draw any attention to yourself.
You're also supposed to travel in groups, stay in a well-lit area, be aware of your surroundings. After shopping, make it a habit to take a different route home. Oh, my word.
This is very complicated.
It's like being chased by a spy or something.
Yes.
Pay attention to vehicles and pedestrians behind you because they're actually... So now the criminals, these thugs, are following people to their homes in the suburbs. And that's how they're doing
this. Absurd.
It's crazy. In the event a person is approached during a robbery, especially when armed with a firearm, the department encourages victims not to resist. No property is worth the risk of loss of life. So no fancy cars, no expensive jewelry, travel in herds or packs of people.
No self-defense.
None whatsoever. You know, all you need here, and I mean, if this was happening in the southern states, the sheriff would have just put out a statement and said, hey, look, we've got a rise in crime. You need to go out. Get yourself a gun permit. Get yourself a gun. Get some ammo. Shoot the bad guys when they rob you and let God sort it all out. That's what I would have done. Anyway, that's what the southern sheriffs would have done. We'll be right back, America. Good to have you back with us, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. By the way, have you been dealing with the allergy season? It gets pretty bad here in the South, and you get the green dust, the pollen. Oh, it's terrible. Yellowish green. Sneezing all the time is terrible. So a couple of weeks ago, I ran into a group of folks that are big fans of the program, and they've got this great company called Eden Pure, and they're doing some really cool stuff, pretty innovative stuff, and they have an air purification system that is about the size of like the Apple TV box, very small, very discreet. You can't see it, and the thing works incredibly well. They have something called a thunderstorm air purifier, and they use this proven oxy technology to destroy viruses and odors and mold. And bottom line, I don't sneeze anymore when it comes to springtime. This air purifier actually gets the allergies and these particles. And that help you breathe a lot easier. And also, it gets rid of all the nasty odors. So if you have a trash can, dirty diapers, litter boxes, the thunderstorm air purifier just completely eliminates those odors. I don't know how it works. All I can tell you is it works like a charm. Over 200,000 of these devices already sold. So you know it works. And you don't have to buy a filter. You don't have to do all of that stuff. And it doesn't take up any floor space. All you have to do is literally plug it into the wall. It's very quiet, and you can use it in your bedroom. You don't even know it's there. So I love it only because I have super bad allergies. But thanks to the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier, I don't have it anymore. So super simple. You got to check this stuff out. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. And if you use the discount code Todd3, you're going to save $200. And you're going to be able to get three of these units for different parts of your house. Three units for under $200 too. Shipping, they're going to cover the shipping costs. So you're going to get free shipping, provided you use my discount code Todd3. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code Todd3. And they're going to give you free shipping as well as some great discounts. Grace, what are you're all upset about this TikTok video. What's going on with TikTok?
I don't know if upset's the right word, just perplexed. So we all follow the Libs of TikTok account on Twitter. And one of the videos they posted today that caught my attention was this African-American woman.
Black woman. Do we know that she's from Africa?
No, we do not. No, that's not the point of the video.
This is a learning experience. We have a lot of homeschool kids that listen to this program, and they get their cultural education from us. So we don't like to use the hyphenated word because we don't know if that person is, in fact, from Africa. They could be from, I don't know, they could be from the Caribbean.
This is true.
They could be from Jamaica. But they're black.
Yes, a black woman is ranting on TikTok saying that basically, white people shouldn't walk down the street holding hands because it takes space up for black people.
What?
So she says that minorities have always been told to be aware of how much space they take up in different scenarios. And so she says, so serious question, white people. Are you aware that you guys just take up all this room, for instance, holding hands, walking down the street, and you're pushing, therefore, black people out of the way?
Do we have the audio on this?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a listen.
I know that every person of color has been on the receiving end of this, so my video is actually more for white people, actually. This is a serious question, and I would like a serious answer in my comment section or a stitch. Are y'all aware that y'all often take up space with disregard for the people of color around you? If there's any confusion, I can give you guys an example. I'm from New York City. Sometimes a sidewalk is narrow to the point where there's only enough room for two modes of traffic, one going and one coming. But that has never stopped white people from walking side by side and holding hands and expecting you to either stand and wait for them to pass or walk in the street if you need to keep going. Are you guys aware that this is something that you do, or is it something that happens by accident? Because people of color are taught to be aware of how much space they're taking up at all times. So watching you guys take up space without even thinking about it is mind-blowing to a lot of us.
This woman is full of crap. And it's not even grade A crap. This is like grade, I don't know, Z crap.
It's pretty bad.
So is she saying that black people don't hold hands? I mean, when they're out in public?
I think she's just bitter. And most of the people in the comment section said this. I think she's just jealous she's not in a relationship. So I think she's walking down the street and she sees people holding hands and she goes, man, I want to be in a relationship. I want to do that. So instead, she's just hating on everybody else saying, well, y'all shouldn't hold hands, aka you should not show any kind of affection in public because you're taking up space. That's
okay. We actually have video on our website of a black woman twerking on a public sidewalk in Miami Beach, Florida. So I don't understand what point she is trying to make here.
Yeah, she lost me about halfway through that.
I'm with you. I think she, you know what I think it is? I think she's just been in bad relationships.
I think so.
But let's be honest, men, can we just get real for a minute? All the men of the Todd Stearns radio program, would you really want to be in a relationship with someone like that? I think not.
She sounds like a handful.
A handful. All the jewelry in the world.
Yeah.
Is not going to fix that problem.
No.
All right. There you go. All right, all you white people, shame on you. Shame on you, white people.
Walking a single file line.
By the way, 71% of people in a new poll say the USA is headed in the wrong direction. Do you folks believe that? Are we headed in the wrong direction as a nation? 844-747-8868. Breitbart News has an exclusive on the notorious KBJ. No KFC. No, it's KBJ. KFC is the chicken joint. No, this is Ketanji Brown Jackson, the next Supreme Court justice, the woman who does not know her preferred pronouns, and the woman who cannot tell you the difference between a man and a woman. By the way, every single person speaking at the Trump rally brought up this story. This is a big deal. And just a reminder that sooner or later, back in the day, we used to allow God to make these decisions for us, right? So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And then we said God created man and female, right? Male and female. We said God created marriage, right? Between a man and a woman or woman. And we were pretty happy as a society with that for the past, I don't know, couple of thousand years or so, until most recently when all of a sudden mankind decided to jump in and say, you know what? No. God doesn't make man or female. God, and they don't even think God makes anything. They say that we are evolving, and so there are 72, 73, 74 different varieties of humans out there. Then mankind comes in and says, you know what? We're going to redefine marriage. And how are they redefining all of this? Well, they're doing it through the court system, through the Supreme Court. And you better believe that sooner or later, the Supreme Court will be deciding this question, what is a man and what is a woman or woman? Make me a sandwich. I'm just telling, I don't know who that was. But that's the point here in the Liberty University studios on this fine day. So that's why it is important that we know and that she knows. Grace, ask me how the weather is today.
How's the weather, Todd?
I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist. What do you want me to do here? You're killing me. Come on now.
I'm sorry, Todd.
That's exactly what happened at the Supreme Court. And you have Cory Booker. How dare Marsha Blackburn ask her about the difference between a man and a woman? Who does she think she is? That's Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey. That's racist. Because she's a woman, and she's a white woman.
And then he just goes on this whole monologue and breaks into tears.
Was that Will Smith or Cory Booker?
That was Cory Booker.
It's so confusing. Or Don Lemon? I don't know. Everybody's crying these days.
Brian Stelter.
Hello. Hi, Grace. It's been a long time. No one watches me on CNN anymore.
Whose voice is that, Todd?
It's Brian Stelter.
Oh, fair enough. Like, sounds like a little girl.
Big girl.
Dang.
Big bald girl. I'm just saying, he's got no hair.
That was poorly timed, Todd.
It's terrible. I was
waiting for it to click.
Just
I'm
waiting
sorry.
For somebody. It's Monday, Grace. You can't spring this
I'm
stuff
sorry.
On.
I'm sorry. It was just like, wow. I was like, I'm not commenting on that one.
No, don't
here
comment.
Here comes Media Matters after
here
Todd.
Comes Will Smith. I will slap somebody. I'm going to slap somebody. Studs, don't you wanna, I don't wanna hear my wife's name coming out of your big, beautiful microphone.
Or Brian's name.
Studs, how dare you? How dare you?
I feel like he'd need another man to stand up
for
him.
I'm going to slap you. All right. We don't judge here. We don't judge. Let's go. Anyway, back to the notorious KBJ. Turns out, according to the Breitbart exclusive, that she was involved in the anti-racist agreement that turns out to be racist at the Georgetown Day School. Now, you know, she's on the board of directors. She said, I don't know nothing about it. Don't know nothing about it. I don't know nothing about critical race theory. Turns out she was actively involved in it. Jackson Brown, this is from Breitbart News. Jackson Brown has been a board member, a board of the trustees member, rather, at the Georgetown Day School since 2019 and a member of the school community for about a decade. Jackson denied to Senator Ted Cruz that critical race theory is taught at the National Association of Independent Schools group. And the schools, she didn't know anything about the school's demands that all parents sign a form called the New Enrollment Contract Clause, which states the school has made a commitment to work actively against individual and systemic racism. And Breitbart's got a copy of all of this. And they published this up on their website. The form gives parents resources to root out, quote, systemic racism and advance racial equity. And there are all sorts of all sorts of informational pamphlets. What is systemic racism? Glossary of understanding the dismantling structural racism, promoting racial equity analysis, racial stress and self-care for parents, talking to kids about race, how to talk to kids about race and racism, talking race with young children, talking to your kids about race and how to raise an anti-racist kid. And so this is all out there. And Jackson, Judge Jackson, said, I don't know where all this came from. Beats me. We know it's not true. And I'm glad to see that Breitbart is calling her out on this. The newly obtained documents and information acquired by Breitbart News fly in the face of what Jackson told Cruz during his line of committee questioning at Jackson's confirmation hearings. Can I just say this? It's not going to matter. I mean, I wish it would matter, but it's not going to matter. This woman lied. This woman lied at the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. She lied, and she needs to be called out on it, but she's not. They're just going to turn a blind eye. You know why? Because she is a black woman, and that's all that matters here. That is all that matters. And I know many of you are going to get riled up over this, but it's true. It's the only thing that matters. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, hey, newsletter coming out in about 10, 15 minutes or so. You want to head over to toddstarnes.com and make sure you sign up for our newsletter so you stay up to date with all of our stories. You know, a lot of you do follow us on the social media platforms, but the reality is they don't let a lot of our subscribers actually see it on Facebook. So that's why we want you to subscribe to the newsletter so you can get that information. Hey, let's go to the phones here from Kentucky. We have Pastor John on the line. Hey, Pastor, how are you today?
Hey, Mr. Starnes. First of all, you have an amazing show. You know how I know it's an amazing show? Liberals hate you, so you're doing something right.
This is true. This is true.
And you asked a really good question. You asked, are we heading in the wrong? Absolutely. And, you know, people complain, but all of it, you got to look at the source of what the problem is. They have to just look in the mirror. And it falls directly at the feet of the American voter. I love your show. God bless you, Miss Grace. God bless you, Mr. Starnes. And I'll hang up and listen for your reply.
All right. Well, thank you, Pastor John. Ultimately... This is about the voters. I mean, we all have a responsibility to get out there and vote on election day. And we've got to do our due diligence. Now, I can't help it if, you know, everybody in the graveyard goes out and votes Democrat. We've got to fix that. But again, that is on the voters. I have made a conscious decision this election cycle to only support local candidates. And that means as far as my financial money goes and, the amount of money I donate to. And I try to support as many conservative candidates as possible. But if we're going to make a difference, if we're really going to start to make a difference, it's only going to start on the local level. For example, this is just a rule I have. If there is a Republican candidate on the ballot, and they go out and endorse a Democrat, they don't get a penny from me. I don't care if that Democrat is the sheriff of the county. They're not getting a penny from me. If you've got a Republican on the ballot, and they are not, and they're not going to be supporting Republicans, you're done. You're done. And again, that's what we call a Republican in name only. You know, a lot of Republicans in districts that are heavily blue. In other words, you live in a blue part of your state, wherever you might be. We'll say Oregon or California, Western Tennessee. a lot of the Republicans don't want to, they don't want to cause a stink. And the reason why is a lot of the wealthy Republicans have government contracts, and they don't want anything to interfere with those government contracts. And so what happens? Well, it's really easy. They turn their backs on you, the voters, because they want that government money. And they know that if they play along with the Democrats, if they don't cause any trouble, if they turn a blind eye, you know, when the Democrats want to implement mask mandates, you go along with it because you've got some sort of financial stake here. And for others, it's just all about power. And that's why you have to be smart. And that's on us. You know what? Part of me wants to fault them for being deceitful, devious, evildoers, and liars. But you know what? We have an obligation here to do our homework to make sure that those people are exposed and that we don't support those kinds of people. And we're going to do that on this radio program. I just call it like I see it, folks. But you got to do your homework, too. All right, we got to get out of here. ToddStarnes.com, our website. Have a great day, America.